NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky. Broadcasting from our best yet broadcast studios in Boston. NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Now here's Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky.
Hour 2, NFL Sunday. We'll get you right up until 1 o'clock. Patriots and Titans will kick at that time. Obviously, real post-game show with Ordway and crew following Pats and Titans. Your phone calls throughout at 617-779-7937. There is some news today on Malcolm Butler, which we'll talk about more with our guy, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, bottom of the hour. The news on Rob Gronkowski, fellas, is he is probably not going to play. I guess he traveled with the team. Which, by the way, going to Nashville, might as well. It's a great, great city. Head down to Broadway, go to Tootsie's.
Oh, nice little spot.
Enjoy yourself downtown Nashville,
bring
but take the week
out.
Off. That's
absolutely.
But he's not going to play in this game, and it's feeling more and more like the back injury is not just going to be a blip on the radar, that he's going to deal with this. It feels like the rest of the season now, and with a year remaining on his contract and scheduled to make $10 million next year, I think we officially entered what are the Patriots going to do with Rob Gronkowski next year territory.
He's
because
gone.
He is not right now a $10 million tight end. And so whether it's trade, whether it's go to him and get a restructuring, whether it's an outright release, it feels like you're not sounding the alarms and being some sort of a conspiracy theorist by suggesting this is the final full year Rob Gronkowski in the path to you.
Not at all.
That's where I sit. You guys disagree with that at all?
I think this is it. I really do. And Forey, maybe you feel differently, but I think this is it. I think it was a really weird offseason for him, obviously, and we chronicled it the entire way. And then he gets the incentives put in so he can make some more money, and those seem like they're out the window. And then, obviously, if he doesn't play today, they are really out the window.
Really,
yeah, so he's not going to get that. They tried trading him. Like that, I don't even think that gets discussed enough. Like, they tried trading Rob Gronkowski, and he's basically the one, even though he doesn't have a no trade, he could say, well, I'm not going to go there. And then if you're Detroit or if you're any of these other teams, you're like, well, do we even want to deal with this? Like, if this guy, even if we gave him a new contract, if he really doesn't want to play, forget about it. So this offseason, I mean, does he want to be the guy who gets cut by the Patriots? Does he just retire? Does he? I don't know, but I think this could definitely be it.
Yeah, it has the look and feel of a player who's like, you know, in his mid-30s, right? Like, yeah, a guy we can kindly see, like, here's the cliff, right? Now, you're good. You can still produce. But the reliability factor with him, it's almost not worth it.
Cliff.
I mean, I know that he's going to, like, you're kind of saving him now, just worried about the postseason. But the reality is, like, you need to play in every single game. Like, and it's not like practice is hard. So I could easily see them trading him. Actually, we were talking about it a couple weeks ago. Like, it just feels like this is when they cut bait on some of these guys. Like, you have 1 year left in your contract. Another guy gets you, try to convince him to stay. You know, has a great year. They overpay for him, and then they end up, like, dealing with all the long-term ramifications of his body just being beat up.
See, it's interesting because he's put himself in a spot. So let's say he gets through this year, and he misses a couple of games here down the stretch, but plays in the postseason and is still – you know, a good player for them. But, you know, Volan Rode, he's become more of a luxury than a guy they have to have. The offense has won big games, won Super Bowls, put up 35, 40 points without Gronk. He's no longer the focal point of the offense. What if they go to him now and say, we like you, but not at the $10 million bucks? Because he made a big deal about the contract incentives. He clearly, Ryan just played a clip from the press conference. He was annoyed about how it was handled. But he also has said on the record he wants to play with Brady. Like, Brady's
right.
His guy.
So do you
and he's
going to
follow Brady wherever he's going to go.
Take a pay cut?
So
it's so childish. But
what do you mean?
Keep going.
Which part?
That combo is just so stupid. So childish. Like, you're not like 10. Like, my brother's going there. I got to go with him. What are you doing here? Like, you're a grown man.
Right.
Like, whatever. Go ahead.
So, but it is a little childish. But if you've committed yourself to that, like, Curran wrote that after next year, the breakup would happen where Gronk and Brady would go as a package somewhere else. I don't think Gronk gets to it at that point. So if you're Gronk,
no.
I never thought I'd say this, he may take a pay cut for a year. He may end up taking a pay cut to play with Brady for one more year. And then after that, if it looks like, hey, is that going to be it for Brady after 2019? Because his contract and ball reports is up after next season. Then they go on. And so I could see it now where he's got to swallow his pride. If he truly wants to play with his guy, take less money to stay here, which will be a crazy
but see,
subplot
then you,
after
then you
things
actually, because I know a lot of people speculated like all these other things that he could do and how much money he could make. And the truth is he makes a lot more money playing football than he would in a wrestling ring or making B movies or whatever else. But
probably C movies based on his
yeah,
his
maybe. But
cuts,
or yeah. Expendables 4. But
WrestleMania mojo!
If you start taking a significant pay cut, like then how close is it? And like you can do all those other things and be relatively injury free, especially the movies. I mean, wrestling you can obviously get hurt, but the other stuff you can be more injury free. So also depending on how his body is feeling, like he's dealing with an ankle injury and a back injury right now. He had a concussion last year in the playoffs. Like he's had a million different surgeries. So I don't know how much that of a factor that'll have for him next year.
Do you
too.
Guys think that if Rob Gronkowski is a free agent, let's say he obviously misses this week, he'll have the bye week. Let's say he plays in the last six games and the playoffs, and possibly the Super Bowl. And he ends the season relatively healthy, right? And then he's a free agent. Patriots don't want to sign for the money that he wants. What kind of money do you think he's going to get? You think teams are going to shy away from him or be nervous about him?
I think most smart teams wouldn't give him a lot of
30-year-old tight end who's banged up with a back injury.
Now, like,
I think he gets a very incentive –
what is
laden
Jimmy Graham
type
getting?
Of deal.
Jimmy Graham got paid at in Green Bay. It's not like he's – I mean, he's getting paid.
I mean, it only takes one team, and I think somebody like the Jets, who they're way under the cap, right? They could offer him a ton of money, and so maybe the Jets would do it. But wouldn't every team – I mean, maybe you have to give him 2 years just because, you know, to break the tie. But most teams would say, well, we got to take it year to year with this guy. That's what they should do.
Yeah, so he wouldn't do it then. He'd want some sort of commitment from him. So you'd have to do like a 3-year deal, like a 2-year deal with a 3rd-year option, something like that, where he's committed for 2 years. And that's really all I'd bank on. I'd pay him for 2 years. I'd bank because he fits the mold for the somewhat older player, right? He's not even 30 yet. Somewhat older player.
I think he's already lasted longer than expected, don't you think? Going back to when he got drafted in the second round because he had all kinds of back issues at Arizona. This is his 9th year in the league. Like, for a guy that's that physical, like, that's a good long career.
It feels like he figured it out, though. But, I mean, out of those 9 years, like, how many games has he missed? Like,
he's missed a bunch of games.
So it's not like he's gotten the wear and tear of a full 9 seasons.
I know, but the seasons that he didn't play all the time, I feel like he got surgeries instead. So doesn't that add up?
Yeah, but I felt like there was a point where he kind of figured it out. Like, he'd gotten ahead of it.
I thought last year was one of his more – I mean, he played 16 games as a rookie. That's the only time he's ever played 16
games. Well, he was thrilled
last
year. Remember, he wanted to do that story with Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal saying how that it was TB12 and the diet and everything else. They wouldn't let him do it. He had a great health year last year. Isn't this the issue with backs? They pop up out of nowhere, and all of a sudden you haven't played in a month.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest issue. The ankle, like a knee, just the wear and tear, getting hit. I mean, that just kind of – you can't, you know, really deal – you can't, like, stop that.
You asked
about – back issue is nervous. The back issue makes me apprehensive because that could go away or it could be there for the next 5 years.
You asked about Jimmy Graham. He signed a 3-year deal for – this is ages 32, 33, and 34. It's a $30 million deal. Only 12 of that is guaranteed. So it sounds like a big number. I think from the standpoint of, you know, how they rank the contracts, he's the highest paid tight end because the average per year is $10 million. But I think it's only just over 3 guaranteed, whereas, you know, Gronk is a little bit over 2 right now. And my guess is it wouldn't go up. You know, you're 31 years old with back issues. You're not going up guaranteed money from there. It's going down from there. So right now he's 4th in the NFL behind Graham, Kelsey, and Jordan Reed. And I don't think he's getting in the top 3 if he's free agent.
Is it crazy that he feels like his window is closing, like, or it's closed? Like, that earning potential, that mystique, that Gronk mystique is, I mean, it's kind of leaving.
Well, that's probably because his back and because the by the way, the Patriots keep winning without him on the field. That's been significant.
Without him, too.
Let's go to Jim in Melrose. He asked a good question about this team. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. So with Gronk being injured and then Hollister always looks good in the preseason, never does anything. Christian, taking advantage of your experience, how hard is it to get people to adjust or make adjustments when they're lining up at the line of scrimmage and then realizing where they have to cut their route off and things like that? Because you talk about it and others talk about it, but can you kind of just explain it a little more? Because Allen does well but doesn't seem to do the pass catching as much. Like, just tell me how difficult it is.
Yeah, defend Dwayne Allen. Thanks, Jim. Go ahead.
Wait, I don't get it. Explain what?
Explain playing tight end.
Like, he's a blocker.
Just talk about it, my friend Steve Sanchez.
Listen, it's all based
talk
on trust.
Talk about
it. It's all based on trust.
Can you talk about playing tight end?
Thank you, Steve Burton. Thank you. No, it is I'll just go back to this offense is not difficult, okay? Everybody runs the same plays. Everybody has the same route tree combinations. A corner route is the same here as it is in Jacksonville. There's no difference. The difference is Brady. So that's the difference, right? Okay, and seeing what he sees, that's the hard thing for people to adjust to. Dwayne Allen can't do it. The guy won the Mackey Award for the best tight end in college freaking football, and they don't throw him the damn ball. Like, does he suck, or does he just suck in this offense? I think he sucks in this offense. So they turn him into a blocker. Like, so, and the same goes with every single position. So, I don't think the offense is difficult. I don't think the routes are hard. I think what's difficult is just knowing how to adjust those routes in every single play combination, because every play is different.
You were pretty excited on the sideline. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. Matt, let's go to Matt out in Smithfield on Gronk. Hey, Matt, talk about it. What do you got?
How you doing? Guys, let's put a hypothetical out there.
Yeah.
All right, so they sit Gronk until the playoffs. And they bring him back. He's somewhat healthy in the playoffs, and he has a great playoffs. They win the Super Bowl. What do they do with Gronk after that?
They don't want to pay him $10 million. They're going to go to him and ask him to redo his deal, Matt, or they're going to trade him or cut him. In my mind, you think based on this year they'll pay him the $10 million he's slotted to make next year? I don't.
Well, I mean, if he's willing to do a year-to-year deal.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Going back to a guy who's felt like he's been underpaid recently, thanks to your call, about to be 30 years old, has a year left on his deal where he's going to get paid, $9 million guaranteed. $9 million guaranteed next year on Gronk. There is no way they're paying him that money.
Yeah.
So he feels like he's year to year. Matt's right. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about it.
Talk about
with
it.
Our guy Mike Florio coming up. Pro Football Talk has reported a lot on Gronkowski and Malcolm Butler. We'll get his take with Mike Florio. Pro Football Talk next.
To NFL Sunday on Sports Radio WEEI.
NFL Sunday rolls on. Mutt, Keith, and Fourier, Sports Radio WEEI, Patriots and Titans coming up 1 o'clock from Nashville. Of course, you have the Real Postgame Show with Glenn and the guys after the game. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, front and center on all the news of the day, including what's going on both the Patriots and nationally. Mike joins us here on NFL Sunday. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good.
I want to start with the Patriots here, Mike, because it feels like a couple of things still loom with this team. 9 months after the fact, there is still discussion about Malcolm Butler and the Patriots. We see that he's not playing well in Tennessee. That is being treated as some sort of sign that Bill Belichick did the right thing in the Super Bowl. Are you surprised he's playing so poorly? And have you been able to, pick apart where this is coming from now, the defense of Belichick, because he's played so poorly so far this year?
You know, I think it may be apples and oranges. The only way there's a connection from how he's playing now to the decision to not play him in the Super Bowl would be to conclude that Belichick in some way grifted his good friend Mike Vrabel, because there's no way the Titans signed Malcolm Butler if they believe that what happened with Butler in the Super Bowl was some product of a greater observation that Butler's on the decline or he's not very good or he was never as good as anyone thought he was. I just don't think Belichick sets Vrabel up for that, unless Belichick really is far more diabolical than anyone would give him credit for, and he's out to screw his friends even more than he screws his enemies.
What do you think of the future of Rob Gronkowski? It looks like he's not going to play today. It'll be third game in 4 weeks that he wouldn't play in. We know he's under contract for one more year, but it's at decent money. What do you think the future holds?
Well, you know, when the Super Bowl ended and he was asked about rumors of a possible retirement, his first comment was, "I don't know how you heard about that," which implies a lot. I think if the Patriots had won the Super Bowl, he would have retired. And I think after this season, which has been very disappointing for him, and it's a second straight year with a significant incentive package, that he's possibly, and I think we're probably now close to saying, probably not going to hit any of the four markers, each of which pay him $1.1 million, and he can make a maximum of $3.3 million that way. He's way behind in catches, yards, and touchdowns. He needs to participate in 80% of the offensive snaps. He will have played in 70% of the games if he misses today. So he's got an uphill climb to hit those numbers. Last year, he hit all of them. I think that will be a factor in his ultimate decision. And, you know, the fact that he had a chance to play somewhere else and didn't want to, I think that there's a good chance he just walks away after this year, unless the Patriots are willing to rip up that last year of the contract and give him some form of security that's not tied to being healthy and producing on the field.
So you think he'd rather walk away entirely from football than play for another team?
I well, look, he had his chance to play for another team, and he didn't want to do it. And I think if
well, can you look at that as him just trying to play hardball and like and getting skittish and losing because they were playing chicken and he lost?
I don't know that I'd use hardball to describe Gronk because
a chicken. He was yeah.
I don't think he played hardball with the Patriots, right? I think he did. I mean, he blinked before it was even time to blink. I mean,
he's really bad at it.
When the Patriots were looking to trade him, and they were making calls about trading him 3 days before the draft, 2 days before the draft, he professed his loyalty to the Patriots again. I just think he doesn't want to screw up what he thinks is a good thing, and he's convinced that the best possible thing for him is to play for the Patriots. Now, you know, if there's some other situation out there where he could become convinced it's ideal for him, then so be it. But I don't know where that is. And as long as Tom Brady's playing, I don't think he believes there's another place that is better off for him.
Well, if he was a free agent, what do you think he'd make on the open market with all the injuries in the history?
Well, I mean, look at Jimmy Graham. He got $10 million a year from the Packers, and what's he done this year? You know, the thing about free agency, and this comes up in the Le'Veon Bell discussion, as it looks like he's getting closer and closer to free agency, I mean, you hit the market. If you're a great player that hits the market, with no restriction of any kind, you get paid. Look at Sammy Watkins. When he got paid, everybody's like, what the hell? Sammy Watkins got that kind of money? That's what happens when it's a great player who gets to the open market, because usually it's not great players who get there. So Gronk would get paid. Now, the injuries this year, would that deter someone? Maybe, but you have to remember how free agency works. There are owners out there who are desperate to make their teams relevant, and one way to make your team relevant in March is to pay a boatload of money to a guy with a big name. Because he's going to sell jerseys, he's going to sell tickets, he's going to create excitement, and we'll worry later about whether or not the guy can play.
I want to go back to Bell, but you said something that's going to stand out, I think, this week, Mike. You suggest that if they had won the Super Bowl, Rob Gronkowski would have retired. So you thought that threat was real. You thought him walking away was more than just a negotiation play, because he was healthy last year, he played well, he talked about how much fun he had, but you think they win the Super Bowl, he retires.
I really do think that's where it was headed, and I think that's why he hesitated. And that's why he thought it over for so long. I mean, the idea of walking away at the top of the mountain. And he's one of the rare guys. Because for most guys who are thinking about retirement, the first question is, all right, financially, who's going to pay you anything close to what you would otherwise make playing football? And most guys, they're not going to get anything close anywhere else they go. But Gronk, I think, could make a good amount of money by just being Gronk. I mean, however, you know, you need a creative business manager, but there's a lot of ways for Gronk to make a ton of money just being that big kind of goofy, happy-go-lucky guy. And you avoid further injuries, further surgeries. I mean, it's amazing to me that he's still going after all of the surgeries, all of the rehab. He's never gotten jaded. He's never shown it. Maybe deep down he's feeling it. And I think he's been getting a lot of pressure from people close to him to, you know, maybe move on and protect his brain, protect his back, protect the rest of his body. And that's why I think that if the Patriots had won the Super Bowl, I really do think he would have walked away, because I was hearing those rumors. I was hearing that noise, that there was talk that he could walk away if they, you know, after the Super Bowl, and that was when we all thought they were going to win it. There wasn't even an if. We thought they'd just show up and they beat the Eagles.
They did not do that. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, joining us. You mentioned Le'Veon Bell. Is he doing the right thing by not showing up here, Mike? And is this long-term? What's the impact on contracts and franchise tags? Is there any for other players because of what Bell has done this year?
Well, I'm not sure how we got to the point where it just became obvious this week that if you're on that second tag and you sit out the entire season, your team is facing a ridiculously expensive proposition to keep you around for the third year under the franchise tag. And I don't want to get too far into the weeds here, but apparently this week there was some sort of epiphany that was had by team, league, agent, everyone, and now the issues are framed. If Bell sits out the full year, the only way the Steelers can use the franchise tag on him next year is to offer him the average of the five highest paid quarterbacks, which means they're not going to use the franchise tag, which means he becomes a free agent. And when you look at what he's already given up, $8.5 million, if he doesn't show up by Tuesday, he gives up another $6 million. That $6 million is nothing in comparison to what he would get as a free agent in March. Because like I said earlier, if you're a great player and you become a free agent, you get paid. Kirk Cousins, $84 million over 3 years, fully guaranteed. And is he a great player?
No.
I don't know.
No.
I mean, there are five quarterbacks I'd take at least before Kirk Cousins. So you're getting the best running back in the NFL, a year removed from any wear and tear, and he's going to hit the open market, and a team like the Jets, and I think that's the first team I'd watch, because you've already had Mike McCagnan, the GM of the team, talking generally about how they feel about going into next year and the money they have to spend. They got a ton of money. They got a ton of cap space. And I think that Bell is going to get more than anyone thinks. I got the over-under at $18 million a year. And there's a lot of people saying, oh, it will never be that much. Don't be surprised if it's more than that.
Do you think the next CBA, the franchise tag, could be something that the players really fight for to get rid of? And obviously they'd have to make concessions, and it seems like they always do every time there's a CBA. But it seems like the franchise tag is just hated by all the players.
Well, it's not hated by all of them. It's hated by the ones who are affected by it. And it doesn't affect that many players. Now, if you look at it very carefully, you could argue that the existence of the franchise tag helps keep the market lower across the board because you never have guys who are really blowing it out. And the argument would be that the mid-level players and the lower-level players would all benefit from that because it would all trickle down. But I don't think the players think that way. And I think the idea that you'd have to give up so much to get rid of the franchise tag, that's a big deal. Now, this loophole that – and this is what was so weird to me this week. The fact that the Steelers in the league are willing to say, yeah, if a guy sits out all year, the Steelers have to use the franchise tag at the quarterback level on him next year. That is bizarre that the league and the team would admit to that, because that is something that really can be exploited by any non-quarterback that is thinking, hey, I'm just going to sit out this second year, and there's no way they can keep me from getting to the open market next year. So it's something to keep an eye on what that becomes, because if the union and the agents use that to its full extent, that could be a way to leverage the NFL to fix that loophole by giving the players something in return.
Last one for me, Mike. What the hell is going on with the Oakland Raiders and John Gruden? Are they tanking? Was he overrated to begin with? What are they trying to do?
I think it's a combination of things. I really do believe that his mishandling of Khalil Mack caused him to get knocked wobbly, right? Like he comes, you know, it's like a boxer who comes strutting into the ring and everything's going to be great. Here I am. I'm back. I'm coming out of retirement. He got punched one time and it all fell apart. And I think that Mack situation, badly mishandled from February when they lowballed it and he said, forget it. And they said, forget him. And they assumed he would play under his fifth-year option, which was $13.8 million, when it was clear that he wouldn't. When it was clear what Aaron Donald was making, they just decided to move on. And I think ever since then, it's just been falling apart one game at a time. They're lucky they're not winless. They had that game against the Browns in overtime that they should have lost. And I think at this point, with all the draft picks they've picked up, yeah, I mean, they're never going to admit to tanking, but I think it's fair to say they're tanking. They're leaving Oakland. They're heading to Las Vegas. And the best way to make a big splash in Las Vegas is to parlay all those draft picks into great players. And now that's going to be the challenge. Can John Gruden, who's clearly running the show, can he make the most out of the three first-round draft picks he's going to have this year, the two first-round draft picks he's going to have next year? And I think the big question is this. What does he do at quarterback? Does he keep Derek Carr? Does he draft a guy? And the book has always been that John Gruden does not want to tolerate a young quarterback. Or does he go out and get himself a Joe Flacco or Ryan Fitzpatrick, an older guy, and try to turn him into Rich Gannon?
Mike, good stuff. We'll see you on TV tonight on NBC for Cowboys and Eagles. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Florio spending a couple minutes with us. It's a busy Sunday for him, and he pops on NFL Sunday. And a couple interesting follow-ups out of that. He's pretty tied into, you know, Gronk and his agent. Okay, so that's a big thing with Florio. And I'm forgetting, Drew Rosenhaus.
Drew Rosenhaus, right? Yeah.
He's pretty tied in there. So when he suggests that, you know, people around him were saying that the reality of Gronk retirement is real, all right, let's fast forward now to this year. He's going to be worth $9 million bucks in the books. You and I talked off the air, Rich. There's no way they're going to pay him that much money guaranteed next year. They can save $10 million against the cap by cutting him prior to June 1st, according to the website I'm looking at right here. If he was going to retire last year, you brought it up. Isn't he more likely to retire and not have to get cut or redo a deal than play for less than you think he's worth?
Everybody's pride's a little bit different, but if he really wants to play with Brady and they want to give him, and they're just going to cut him loose, does he just say, all right, I'm done. Maybe I only have another season left anyway, and I've already been thinking about retirement for a couple of years. So if you retire, you save yourself from getting cut. You know, like that could be how his career ends in New England, this unbelievable Hall of Fame career. Like, oh, how did it end? Like, oh, I got cut. Like, they didn't want to pay me. I got cut. Or does he just say, hey, this is it for me. 9 years in the NFL, and I'm going to walk away.
What does his post-career look like? Because, I mean, is he...
A couple of bad movies, maybe a run-in at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, is he Stone Cold?
No.
You know, is he...
No, he can't, no.
You know, Brian Bosworth?
Yes, the Boz. The Boz did a bunch of bad action movies, right?
Yes, like, yes. I remember paying to watch them.
Can Gronk still... Like, will people or organizations, I guess, have him endorse their product if he's not a player? Like, is he doing?
I think he still has a personality enough. Yeah,
he still is, right?
Yeah. I think
He's got He's going to be marketable his whole life. He's going to be marketable.
Fiesta.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, he's kind of earned it now. He can literally do anything he wants. He'll probably make. I mean, if he does it right, and it seems like they've been handling the right way, he'll make more money selling other people's product than actually running around. I mean, you can sure.
No
the
way.
$10 million
You're insane. Let's say he said,
you don't think
there's a long term,
$6 million
but not for a year.
A 2 year deal worth $6 million a year. Let's say
no,
take the short term.
If he plays it right,
bucks.
I mean, think about it. So listen, he's not The Rock, right? He's
not
going to be that guy.
He
okay.
Is not.
So I mean, I hate to use this comparison. You know, I'm not even going to do it. It's bad.
Let's
it's
hear
bad
it. No, you know,
no,
you've
no,
gone
no,
down too far.
You know,
we need to hear what it is. Go ahead.
I was going
to
say, like, an O.J. Simpson type.
Oh, my God. You were right. You were right to censor yourself.
Keep that one yet to yourself.
Well,
he's not as good of an actor.
Hey, Garvin, cut that. I don't want people to
hear not. He's not as good of an actor as
my
point
is, like, a guy that's more mainstream for his post-career achievements than his career achievements.
No, because O.J. was really good on the sidelines, and he was really good in the Naked Gun movies. Gronk can't do that. Gronk has—he certainly has a personality.
He doesn't appear to be as smooth. Right? Like Howie Long, was a Charlestown, right? Came out of Boston.
Yeah, Gronk
played in the NFL
be...
and was an actor, and now sits on a panel every week and talks about the game.
I
can't imagine Gronk
guy,
doing that.
No.
My whole house got robbed.
Yeah, he's not a panelist. I don't think so. But so he'll be in some of those movies, and maybe they'll hit. All you got to do is get into like a franchise. If he can get into like the Fast and the Furious franchise and just be like one of 10 actors on the screen, flex a little bit, pop the top, that's all you need.
Boz did a bunch of movies. He's in recent movies. Like he's in Revelation Road, Revelation Road 2. Revelation Road, the beginning of the end. He was the feature there as Hog.
Oh, yeah. Dude. Oh, he played Hog in that one?
Ooh, CSI Miami.
He
played
there?
Dwayne Bull Merrick.
Oh, he played
really?
The bull.
He
yeah.
was in The Longest Yard, the Adam Sandler remake.
The remake.
No, but he was
in Michael
Irvin. Okay, the first movie he made.
Stone Cold, 1991.
Yeah, I actually went.
No, you didn't.
Wait, was that the first movie he went?
Let me see
he
this.
Did?
Did 1990? You ever play against the Boz?
No, my brother did.
Stone Cold.
Oh, no kidding.
Ooh, here, yeah. How about this? This is the synopsis on IMDb. A tough Alabama cop is blackmailed by the FBI into going undercover in a violent Mississippi biker gang.
Oh, yes.
Starring the
Boz. That's the one I saw.
The Boz.
Stone Cold.
I saw
that's why
that.
I took him and
actually,
threw him out of the club.
Just for the record, it's not that bad.
No? Solid flick?
It's not. It's I mean, for what it, it's better than line up Stone Cold, line up all those other Yahoos. Like, his actually ranks up pretty high. Like, when I was coming out of college – I met with his agent.
His hair is awesome. He
his
is the
agent
man.
And I were like, so he's like, yeah, come to the Boz. The Boz is shooting a love scene.
Ooh. How did that go? Yeah.
No, I didn't
he's
go.
He's actually a very generous lover. Yeah. That's what I've heard about the Boz.
They've been on a killing spree. Three local religious figures were murdered there in the last month.
Oof. We also suspect them of working with the mafia. Trying to
he's a good
branch
actor
out
for
nationwide into drugs. Contract hits, prostitution, you name it.
Oh my God.
It's good.
We want you to go undercover inside
Oop.
The Brotherhood.
You
give me a chest bump!
Listen, hold on.
No racketeering? I was waiting for a racketeering.
If we were legitimately going to do the Siskel and Ebert thing and like rank ex athletes, all athletes as far, and then rate them on their acting ability, I may be alone here because I've seen him. He's probably one of the better ones.
Now, do you include?
I'm not saying he's good. I'm saying compared to all the other ones, he's probably the best.
Okay, I had to go to the Google machine real quick for this, but immediately The Rock.
I was
going to
say if you count
him.
Professional wrestling, well,
but he's not a professional.
Rock,
okay,
he was a D1 college football player.
Yeah, I played against him too. Yeah, okay.
Oh, you played against The Rock in college?
I played against The Rock. Yeah,
oh,
they were Miami,
sweet.
Colorado, big fight. I mean, you remember that?
Nice. Did you get rock bottomed?
I did not get rock bottomed.
He was not doing that then.
No, at least I don't think so.
Was he still playing then, or did Warren Sapp take his job?
No, he
point?
Was, I'm not sure, I don't remember, I got a concussion in that game. Rohan Marley. Rohan
so
Marley.
You're not the right guy to ask then.
Yeah,
you don't really
remember.
Right.
I remember when we got in a big fight.
Nice.
No, but I don't think, you can't use The Rock.
Can you use Jason Lee, who is a professional skateboarder?
Sure.
Then he's the best.
Can you you used O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson.
I use O.J. Simpson.
He's
better.
Well ahead of him.
O.J. Simpson's better.
Bubba Smith, who played in the NFL,
Bubba
went on
Smith
to star in those Police Academy movies.
Yeah,
he's
Smith
ahead of him.
Really strong.
Jim Brown was a big
Jim
time
Brown's
actor.
Great.
He left
Mars
football
Attacks.
To go act.
He was great in Mars Attacks.
Mars Attacks?
He was great.
What about the Dirty Dozen?
Yeah, that too.
You go to Mars Attacks.
Yeah, that too.
Andre the Giant obviously had a pretty big role.
He was strong.
Princess Bride. Yeah, but only one movie.
Howie Long.
I say we do this.
Howie Long sucked. We're doing it now. He did
he
not
He was like
suck.
A firefighter, like back draft in the
Howie
woods.
Long. Is it Michael Irvin?
What about Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was a bodybuilder then
Pumping
turned
Iron
actor.
Is a great film.
Lou Watch Ferrigno?
Yeah,
Hello, the
good.
Hulk?
Yeah.
I could do this all day.
He never talks.
Ooh, Carl Weathers?
Carl Weathers is great.
In Happy Paul Gilmore. Creed? Yep. He was, you mentioned Jason Lee. He's part of the conversation.
Oh, he's in the mix.
Alex Karras on Webster?
Yeah.
Wow, oh, God, we got a lot.
Alex Karras. I mean,
Ted Karras' dad?
I guess I'm losing this.
Bosworth is nowhere near
no,
this.
Bosworth,
no. No, hold on.
Hulk Hogan is better than him.
What about
he's not an athlete. Okay, stop. That's not the same thing.
You know what?
Hogan was an athlete.
Terry Crews.
John Cena.
Cruz.
John Cena's in some movies. He's not bad. I hate
but
LeBron,
here's the thing. John Cena.
Oh, Kyrie Irving. John Cena. Kyrie Irving's answer.
You can't use John Cena. John Cena plays John Cena. Like,
no,
Bosworth.
I didn't use him.
Did you see the movie Trainwreck? He didn't play John Cena.
Oh, okay. Sorry. He had a fanny pack.
he was hilarious.
Stretch.
He was hilarious.
Bosworth is not top 30.
No, he's not.
Oh, easily.
Not top 30.
The lead.
Not even close.
He doesn't play Brian Bosworth in his movies. He doesn't play a stereotypical.
Just like his NFL career.
He played biker.
Like Andre the Giant.
He didn't live up to
Andre the Giant played a giant. Okay, where's the depth there? There's no depth
there. There wasn't a lot of CGI back then, so he kind of had to play a giant.
Shaquille O'Neal?
Shaq Fu?
Oh, shit. No, what about Shazam?
Yeah, Shazam.
Yep.
He was good. Terrible. He was great in Blue Chips. Him and Penny Hardaway.
Excellent Blue Chips.
Again,
both very
terrible.
Strong.
He was a cop
I'm
in some
Neon Bordeaux. Yeah.
Dude, these are all better
porno.
Than
Brian.
You know Neon Bordeaux is the name of the
You are literally the only person in the world defending Brian Bosworth and his acting at this point.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a late 80s, early 90s college football fraternity that Fourier is in Bosworth.
Exactly. He almost maybe all signed with him. Everybody else gets brought into that little circle.
Did you wear the little headband like him?
You get 617-779-7937.
Just doing Ranger things today.
Gronk.
Yes. Welcome to the park. You may see some trees and water and squirrels, all that good stuff.
Awful actor.
That park
what
ranger,
happened to,
Gronk?
What happened to that movie he was in when he was a cop? Didn't he do some
Yeah,
movie?
He did. He did a movie with that model. Some model.
Okay,
was
what
it.
Happened?
She was like just as bad. Nothing. I think nothing
did,
happened.
Did it get released?
Oh, that one. Wasn't that the Mel Gibson movie? Good question. I don't know what happened to that one.
You look that up. We'll come back. People are now calling in. We're going to give people a couple minutes to react to Fourier's take that Brian Bosworth is somehow.
Top five!
And there's one. He's not top five. And there's one other note from Florio that would be a very juicy note if it happens for Patriot fans. We'll get to that and your calls next.
Back to NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mutnatsky on Sports Radio WEEI.
Dedication.
NFL Sunday, Mutt, Keith, Fourier, Brian Bosworth, right up until 1 o'clock, Pats
Bosworth?
And Titans.
The Boz.
The Boz is joining us. Brian, good morning. How are you?
That'd be great.
You were really good in that.
30.
Did he? I did not watch
it. He did. It was a pretty good Boz.
Might still be on the DVR.
That was terrible.
You didn't like it?
No.
Him in that storage locker going through all the stuff with his kid. I used to be somebody, son.
Oh, I did see that. Yes, where he's sitting down. I did see that one.
Well,
that was not very good. Not great.
They've had better.
They've done better 30 for 30s. We'll get to these phone calls in a second. The one other little nugget from Florio that will be great if you're a Pats fan, or for us. I guess you're a Pats fan, you don't want it. But Le'Veon Bell for the Jets, if he ends up in the AFC East, that'd be awesome.
That's probably what's going to happen, right?
Overpay him.
Oh, yeah.
Overpaid the running back position. Think that he and Sam Darnold will be the answer, and it will be a disaster in New York.
Ugh.
That will be fun.
Yep.
We'll see if that happens. You suggest that Brian Bosworth, Corey, is a top five sports athlete turned actor?
Yes.
You want to stand by that? You had a break to
yes.
look these guys up?
No.
Bottom
yes.
five.
But again, I feel like you can't give me Andre the Giant. Right?
Why not?
You want to eliminate wrestlers.
Why not?
Is what you're saying.
No, I don't want to eliminate wrestlers, but he's not acting. Like, at least – say what you want. Like, the
he's
dude was
funny.
Trying to act, like, acting, like, love scenes, emotional scenes. And you can't give me, who'd you give me, Bubba Smith? Who was
yes,
this?
Yeah, Bubba Smith was great in Police
All
Academy.
All those Police Academies. What a franchise.
Okay, but he's not acting. Like, he's just, he's playing Bubba Smith
was,
as a police officer.
Acting,
that's what he's doing.
No, he had a very serious role as the...
dude, he took the front seat out, of the car and sat
That's
in the
awesome.
Back.
He had to. He was so big.
I'm so tall.
Eric in a car agrees with you. Eric, good
Too
morning.
Tall.
Eric, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, you guys.
Morning, Eric.
How y'all doing?
What's up?
Awesome. Hey, I just wanted to call and back up 4A number one. I got your back, Christian. And,
there you go.
It's. I think it's very insightful, actually, what you did. I'm not the movie buff I was back in the 80s and 90s. I don't think a lot of the movies nowadays have as much heart
I agree, though.
I feel an insult coming.
I had a good heart run there.
I want to say I met Lance Henriksen just recently. What a gentleman. And, of course, he was the bad guy there in that movie.
Of course.
And so I just thought Brian really brought it as far as, you know, rating him. Like, I don't know if I can put him in the top 10 all time because I don't really know all the actors that were former sports guys. But looking at that movie and the heart he brought to that movie.
The heart,
Quite a job.
Yeah, we got heart.
And,
heart.
You know, I'll just leave it there.
There
one thing I want to ask you guys outside of that is there a way the Patriots get hurt today? What would be the worst way they get hurt today?
Tom Brady
in terms
hurt.
Of getting a win.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Oh, that's
well,
it. That's every week.
Tom Brady hurt. That's
every
it.
Every week.
Yeah, that's. I mean, what were you thinking, Eric?
I just, you know, I guess I'm concerned about on the defense side that, you know, we have some clem. I know offense is the focus in NFL today, but I'm just wondering if, you know, on the defense side, if.
See, I think the defense is starting to come together, actually. I think they've played maybe their best game all season against the Packers. I know they gave up a lot fewer points against Buffalo, but that's Buffalo. So I think against the Packers.
17 to Aaron Rodgers.
Not bad.
You'd sign for that every day of the week.
And Mariota is no Aaron Rodgers. And it's not even like he has a bunch of guys that can really hurt you. It's Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis is going to. It's a little revenge game for him. He's going to get the ball a ton. And that's kind of it. I don't know how else they score points.
Special teams, defensive score.
Yeah,
I'm with
right.
you.
Well, right. That's what you're going
to
need.
Defensively today, they don't have to be a great defense to win this game because Tennessee is not a good offense. And I think against this Pats team, you've got to essentially score in the 30s, even at home and the Pats being on the road. And I can't come up with a game script where they're able to put up 30 points, even if the Patriots defense doesn't play as well as they played, as Rich said last week. Mike's in Newburyport. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hi, Mike.
Two better football players than Bosworth ever was in the NFL. Merlin Olsen, Little House on the Prairie, and Fred Dreyer for Hunter.
Fred Dreyer is a big one. Fred Dreyer is top of the
excellent
list.
Excellent call.
Much better.
Yes.
Pulled it off.
Merlin Olsen. Merlin Olsen. See, that's depth. You know, big,
yeah,
tough, strong guy, and he's playing this soft, like just, you know, just good old boy up on the range.
A lot of heart.
How about Ken Reeves? You remember like the most underrated?
Sure,
who's going to completely diverge from the stupid.
I remember
Bruce
Dan Reeves.
Ken Reeves.
Ken Reeves from the White Shadow.
I remember Khalid Reeves.
No, Ken Reeves was
Brian
the
Reeves.
Head coach at Carver High School for the White Shadow.
Can I admit I never watched White Shadow?
Dude, yeah, never.
I didn't watch
it. It's one of those things where I would read Bill Simmons and Simmons would reference it, and I would never, you'd never go back. Oh, great.
That is that is such a, for you young guys, okay, that is a Netflix, okay, Amazon Prime, go back.
Can you watch either one of those?
Watch the first episode and tell me that you don't love it.
All
okay,
right.
Keith, you're a basketball guy.
I am a basketball
guy. You would love this
show.
I'll
give it a go.
You're one of the characters on this show. I'm not even going to, you're Salami. I was going to tell you, that's your name.
Salami.
I've
had worse nicknames.
I watch.
I like Salami.
The White Shadow.
Like,
let's see. It's on Hulu.
Hulu.
Okay, Hulu. Watch the first episode.
Amazon.com. Let's see. No,
I like
not
the fact
Prime.
That Ryan actually found this theme music.
Is it on Blu-ray? Can I get it on Blu-ray?
It looks like you can get it on Blu-ray. All right.
I'll
you gotta have a Hulu subscription to watch.
I don't
this
have
game.
That.
All I know is that they were ahead of their time for the show.
I'm not made of money.
Doesn't the
here.
Host of the Dork Podcast have to have all
I
these subscriptions?
I should. Not a lot of perks to hosting that podcast, as it turns out.
It's a good. It should be a tax write-off for you.
It should.
Laura in Rhode Island says we missed one. Hi, Laura.
Hey. They stole my answer.
Who?
Fred Dreyer.
Oh, I think we're going to go Merle Olsen there. You went Fred Dreyer.
Fred Dreyer as Hunter was one
hey, Ryan, we forgot all about Cam Neely, who played Seabass in Dumb and Dumber and was fantastic.
He was excellent. He played a high school
really
hockey player. He played a truck driver.
It was an important role. If that nice guy over there is Seabass, then yeah, he's picking up the tab. I mean, he played a great role.
Jay is in Canton. The comment line says has a good one. So Ryan thinks it's a good one.
Awesome one. Yeah.
Jay, right. What do you have?
What'd you miss, Jay? What'd we miss?
Hey, you got Keanu Reeves was a goalie in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League in Canada and actually played a goalie in Youngblood.
Keanu Reeves as Johnny Utah, or what was his other nickname? He was an athlete.
Point
Break. No, but he was two. There were two quarterbacks. He was Shane Falco and the replacements.
Who lost the Sugar Bowl.
Johnny Utah in, what's it called? Point Break.
Yeah.
He was Johnny freaking Utah.
If he was an athlete, then Keanu Reeves goes to the top of the list.
Right up there. I didn't know he was.
I can't use junior hockey because everybody played junior something.
No,
okay?
That's true.
I'm not letting. I actually played against River Phoenix in basketball when I was in high school. Okay.
Wait a minute.
He was a jerk.
We lost him too soon.
You played against River Phoenix?
Yes, I did. Yeah, he's an ass.
That's incredible. May he rest in peace.
But true. Stay away from the Viper Club.
Really?
Don't go there.
A great
stay
what
out
if.
The, stay, out of the, stay out of the city, man.
How many
stay
Oscars would that guy have taken home by now? Very good sneakers.
He would have been excellent.
He was our generation's Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's too, right. Too soon.
But how was his game? Was he a good player?
No. He was decent.
Was like, he?
Let's not speak ill.
He was just a prick.
Okay,
I'm not going to break him down.
Like, he's dead. He's dead. What a jerk you are.
I didn't like Sean Payton. I didn't like
Sean Payton's alive.
Yeah, no, not Sean Payton.
Sean Taylor?
Garrett Sean Taylor. I didn't like him either.
Oh, Sean Taylor.
Another
the
one
man.
Who's passed.
He was the like man.
Him. You're not supposed to speak ill of the dead.
I'm not speaking ill of the
dead. You just called the guy a word I think we can say on the air.
River Phoenix was.
That's my favorite thing. So Fourier, who played with Slash and Ray Carruth and Rashawn Salaam, I'm blown away that you played basketball against River Phoenix.
Carruth was huge. Misunderstood, guys.
Yeah. What a 6 degrees.
I remember I had to shake his hand. They beat us the first game, then we played him again, and then we did the whole Stand By Me handshake. I was like, what's up, man? Slap me some skin.
Skin it?
Trying to rub it in his face.
That's right, because that was well after Stand By Me,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So he grew up in L.A.
He went to a regular high school?
I don't know how we ended up being on the team. I have no idea. It was so long ago. It was really actors and porn stars. They were everywhere. I grew up in the Valley. What do you want me to do? Like, go watch Boogie Nights. That's right around all the school. That's where I used to hang out as a kid.
At least I know now when I die and die early, Fourier's going to rip me on the air.
Oh, of course. You know who I never liked?
Like, he was a poor man's Tim Benz on the air. Guy blew.
Give it a minute.
Oh, no. You're terrible. You're a lot better than Tim. But come on, stop it.
Until I die, I'm like, oh, God. Benz was much better. Oh, my God. He should have hosted that show. 617-779-7937, the phone number. No surprise. We have full phone lines on this dumb topic, which is what happens here.
Yeah, and I got to leave, too, by the way.
When do you want to leave now? What do you need to do? You tell us.
What's happening here?
Well, what are we doing here? We break? Let's just keep going.
Sure. Well, when do you want when do you need to leave?
We'll
produce it on the air.
It's not a podcast.
Isn't this serious radio?
It's not the dork podcast here where there's no sponsors.
No, go for another 5 minutes. Go to like 11.
Okay, we'll go to 11, and then you're going to go. Okay,
it is 11.
No, it isn't. I got 11:07.
Okay, Jim in a car is going to give one that we already talked about. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, guys, you missed a big one. Former Oakland Raider, Carl Weathers.
We did not forget him.
He's a great.
Him up. He's
Apollo Creed and Chubbs.
Chubbs and Happy Gilmore.
Amazing.
I mean, Apollo Creed
is an incredible character.
I think a lot of guys could have played that role. Okay, to me, there's a lot of former athletes who could have played it.
What about him?
Run on the beach, oil up. He's better in Predator than as Apollo Creed. And as Chubbs, who got his poor hand bitten off by an alligator.
Yeah, damn alligator bit my hand off.
That's tough. That's a tough role to play.
You are making it, you are trying to make it look like playing Apollo Creed was some easy role.
It's all in the hips.
Just tap it in.
Do you think Keyshawn Johnson or like Michael Irvin could play Creed?
Michael Irvin would have been a great Creed.
Not big enough. I don't think he's big enough.
What do you mean big enough? Like big enough star or big enough jack?
Oh, no, he's a bigger star.
Oh, you think Carl Weathers did it clean? I think he was on whatever Rocky was on, whatever coursing through his veins, anabolic steroids he and Stallone all these guys were on.
How big of a man? I guess
he was big to begin with, though.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
He's not like, listen, all of us have to take supplements, Mutt. Okay, not all of us have to spend half our money on supplements.
You don't think that for his role in Creed?
Protein. Oh my God, he was roided out of his eyeballs.
Of course he was.
Who was?
Carl Weathers,
Balboa, and
Stallone.
They both were.
They all were. Drago.
You think that was all natural?
Oh, Drago was.
They all were. I mean, Drago was in the movie, but they all were in real life.
Here we go. Carl Weathers had natural ability.
Creed 2 coming out this month.
Now I'm gonna this will get too deep, but go look at his pecs. Those are not man-made. those are like what's his name? Who is the who is
some
the,
some of us?
Who is
some
the great
people have a genetic?
I'm forgetting
some
his
people
name.
Have a genetic makeup that allows them to get bigger, faster,
better
without taking all that fake stuff.
Better than Lou Ferrigno?
Ronnie Coleman.
Oh, Ronnie.
Ronnie Coleman. You know, he did it natural. Carl Weathers. I'm sorry. He was.
How about Lyle Alzado? What did Lyle Alzado do? Did he do any like? Did he do any acting?
Alzado was in.
Yeah, he was in something.
No, he was in the not Porky's movies. Wasn't Lyle Alzado the in Nerds?
He was in the Porky's movies.
I don't think so.
Wasn't he in Nerds?
No, I don't think Lyle Alzado actually did any of that stuff. How about Mark Gastineau? He must have done something.
I don't know. Look, you had a computer there. Look it up.
No, Phil, I don't. It's just, I don't have anything.
Phil's in Providence. Hi, Phil.
Yeah, Lyle Alzado from North Dallas 40. Tremendous role. It was awesome.
Oh, you're right.
That was the other guy. That was McCusack, whatever that. That was the other dude.
Oh, John McCusack. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Alzado was, I'll be honest with you, Alzado was in Small Wonder.
He was. You're right.
I was watching that show. He was in that one time. Yeah, it was a pretty cool.
The robot? The Vicky the robot?
Yeah, yeah. He was also in also in Ernest Goes to Camp.
Yeah, he was. But John Matuzak, that was a great role in Dallas 40. That was awesome. He played a, he played his great role because he was really
doing drugs.
Did you mention Matuzak? Phil, did you call in to say Matuzak? Because he played Sloth in the Goonies. That was a very good role for Matuzak.
That was one of the best football movies of all time too. That was one of those great.
Oh
movies.
Yeah,
North Dallas 40 and Sloth is a pretty good daily double.
That is a nice resume
for John Matuzak.
Yeah, that's hard to
beat. Did he really play Sloth?
Yes, Matuzak was Sloth in
the Goonies.
Is that
what he looks like, or is there some makeup there?
Yeah, it's what he looks like. Jesus, Mary.
Well, the guy from The Hills Have Eyes looks like
that.
The guy from The Hills Have Eyes.
Did not know that.
How is the Dork podcast not done an athletes turned actress episode?
It's been done. Okay. It's been done. No, we didn't do it, but it's been done out there.
Yeah.
It turns into this, that's why.
Jay in Connecticut. These calls have been excellent this morning. Hi, Jay.
Hey, guys. I think you guys blew over it, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
In Airplane. Yes.
He was also great.
These names are all ahead of Bosworth. But this
no,
all
not.
Is
Kareem, no, Kareem
you said out loud
is.
He's a top five athlete.
Yeah, no, we've gotten way more.
He's a leading actor.
I know you. You're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You play basketball for the Los Angeles Lakers.
I'm sorry, son, but you must have me confused with someone else. My name is Roger Murdoch.
He was also great in basketball, where he just sat in a display case.
Basketball.
He didn't say a word. He just like walked by. Like,
now I know we need to take a break.
Yeah. I want one more. Jimmy in Providence.
One more.
Jimmy, go ahead before we let Fourier go for an hour or whatever he goes for. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, hey, this was the biggest one. Kurt Russell.
What did Kurt play? Was he an athlete?
Yeah, he played minor league baseball.
Is that right?
Huh.
Yeah, and he's big time actor, bigger than all the other actors.
Well, of course, he is.
Keanu Reeves.
I guess we should kind of show. If
we're doing minor
mainstream.
League stuff, yeah,
be
man,
pro athlete,
Keanu Reeves. That one rattles me because he. If we're including him, there's nobody better than him. I mean, Keanu Reeves is excellent,
very strong. John Wick
top
movie
five.
Coming out.
No, Bosworth is not top five. The one thing we figured out is he's not
leading
top five.
Actor, not bit roles. Like Bosworth is a lead. I'm not saying he's great, but as far as none of those other guys, could actually carry a movie. Like
what movie did he carry, Christian?
I mean, you can carry a
Stone Cold.
Can carry a bat.
That was in 1991.
Well, he was at his height. That's when he was at his most marketable.
Go do some TV. Tell Burton we said hi. We'll talk to you in a little bit.
All right, later.
We'll talk to Forey. He's got to go off and do a TV. We'll get to all your calls here at 617-779-7937, the phone number. It's Patriots. What are you laughing
by
at?
By the way.
I can't even.
Stone
I'm not even,
Cold.
The way the studio is set up, I'm not even looking at you doing the show,
we're
which
all
is great.
In three different rooms.
It's awesome.
So
go ahead.
Stone Cold cost $17 million to make Stone Cold.
In 1991?
Yeah, it was $17 million budget. It made just over $9 million. So, yeah, I think anybody could have done that.
So $17 million in 1991, it's been like $30 million, right?
Oh, they invested a lot of money into that.
We will come back. We will talk about Patriots-Titans, obviously a couple hours from now. We know the injuries officially bottom of the hour. And since we saw them play on Thursday night, where the Steelers rank, I think you and I disagree big time about where the Steelers rank in the AFC as a contender to the Patriots. That and all your Shallow Hal, LB, Chuck Connors phone calls. It is NFL Sunday, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.